What's Gucci, yo? We back on Aries Online. It's your boy Marcus Aries, and this is the Luminance Podcast, episode 2. And today we're breaking down a very sensitive, not sensitive, but a very heavy topic.
Super.
And you know, I'm back with the gang. We've got some new voices. People, will you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Teboho. People call me Malumlet in the streets.
Yes.
Yo, guys, it's me again. It's Tando. What's up?
Hey yo, it's Nikita, known as the Sun God, aka known as the Sunflower, aka known as you know who the girl is.
That is right, hey. And you are tuned in with none other than Miss Lo. What is up, everyone? So, let's get to it.
Leah.
My bad.
Yeah. Last but not least, hey everybody, I'm Leah, known as Pimp Mummy on the Twitter streets.
Ooh,
the Pimp Mummy.
Yes, queen.
She in it. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today, what we decided we're going to discuss, is rape culture in music. And this is something like I feel is very relevant right now, especially considering everything that's been happening, Nene, the Me Too movement. And what are you guys' thoughts on it, like just in general?
I mean, first of all, for me as a woman, it's like, it's about time that the narrative changes, that we take control of the story and we make it our own. We need to start realizing that we're living in a society where things that are acceptable should not be acceptable. We take too much and we're desensitized to a lot of things, and I think the music is a big player in that.
No, that's true, especially when you're talking about desensitization. Because rape culture in hip-hop and in R&B, well, in music in general, it dates back so far.
Dude.
Why did it take so long for us to decide now is the time to start canceling artists when we know R. Kelly has been like doing what he's been doing for the longest
pedophilia.
Of time?
Pedophilia.
You know?
Yeah. I honestly think though it's because like for a long time we've been like scared to separate the music from the artist, because it's like, okay, I don't like accept what you're doing, but you still make good music. So now I'm in a bit of a conundrum, because do I support your music and not the things that happen in the background, or do I completely cancel you out? But then it's a weird situation. It's a weird standpoint, because you constantly have to be like, you either cancel them fully or you ignore the problem and you're like, I'll just keep listening to the music, you know what I mean?
But for me, if I support your music, that means I'm supporting you financially, which means I'm supporting your behavior, which means I agree with everything that you're doing, and that's unacceptable.
I don't know. I really don't think you agree with what the artist is doing. Like, you can separate it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Can you really though?
Well, a lot of people do. They do, like, you know, there's a lot of people, you don't actually have to like the artist to actually like their music. You know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes you don't even follow their storyline. So it's like, you don't even know, like, what's happening in the background. Like, with R. Kelly, this has been going on for a while. But we only found out the story, like, it only blew up now. For, like, why would it only come out now? Do you know what I mean? You only get to know the artist sometimes later on, as opposed to when they drop their music. So it's very hard to get attached to their sound.
A great example of that would be, like, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like,
okay.
We got something in common.
Domestic violence, that's what.
Oh, okay.
I agree with her to a certain extent. Because, like, I mean, if you are supporting the artist, you listen to the music, you are buying the music. Basically, you are funding their life in a way, meaning that they can still go around doing whatever they're doing because they know people will forever support them. So if we were to take a standpoint and cancel them, they would stop with their behavior.
Okay, but like, how many artists have really cancelled though? Like, and how successful is it? You know, like besides R. Kelly, let's
talking in terms of
that,
success,
like,
there was Chris Brown, and look at that.
Okay,
he's still eating up his music now.
No, but the thing is, he was cancelled for some time, and then he came back with this album. He's been doing numbers. That's the problem.
But then that's the thing. When you mean cancelled, like, is there a time limit to this stuff? Is it like a penalty? Like,
it sounds
oh, you
like
did
it's only
this.
Temporary.
Oh,
yeah, you're done.
Like a time off, and then you can come back with those fire tracks that again are like kind of rapey. You know what I mean?
I think for me, cancel culture as a whole can become toxic if it's not monitored and it's not executed correctly.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for calling people out and being like, hey, this behavior is reckless and irresponsible, do something about it. And if you as the person who is guilty of that behavior is like, yeah, you guys are kind of right, let me change my ways, then I won't cancel you 100%. You know what I mean? It's about calling in and educating and making people aware of what is wrong and what is right, for me personally, more than anything. Because cancel culture doesn't solve anything, because if I cancel you and you're like, yeah, this is why I rape women anyway, I'm not solving anything. I need to teach you why what you're doing is wrong and show you how to be better, to be kinder and more respectful. And yeah.
Are we really going to say that though? If we go back to this viewpoint, right? When Lila was saying over here, she was saying that necessarily what somebody or one artist is saying in their music is not reflective of the personality that they are, right? So think about somebody who makes music underneath a moniker. Does that person necessarily then take on that mantle? So there are artists who have different monikers and rap underneath those name brands, for example, or names. And their music reflects something else. Is it like a darker side of their mentality? Does that now reflect the person that they are? So just because they do something, if we go on that point and look at from that viewpoint, then how do we combat that situation?
Yeah, and just I would like to what Sherry said, when you said cancel them 100%, like, what does it mean? Where does it end? What's the limit? Like, if you can take RK, because he's, wow, he's just the face of the brand at this point. okay, now, yeah.
Look up but in like, the dictionary,
to what extent do you cancel him, and how? How do we cancel him? Do we now take off his music? Do we take it off from Spotify and YouTube, or is it gone? I don't, like, do you know what I mean? What does it mean to cancel an artist? That's what I'm trying to understand. Do you know what I mean? Because we can cancel them, but what does that mean?
Thunder,
are they
like
not going
to
drop music anymore? Listen. Are we?
Oh, less.
Guys, if Pick and Pay, if something racist were to happen at Pick and Pay and the managers didn't say anything and they allowed an altercation between people to blow up, and management was like, yeah, it happened in Pick and Pay, but we take no responsibility for it because those two people are not associated with Pick and Pay. Anyway, you shop at Pick and Pay, do you not? And would the public not say, guys, Pick and Pay is supporting racism if they don't stop it? And for me, if you don't stop something, you're in support of it.
So basically what you're saying is the artist should take responsibility
yes,
for their actions.
Yes, people that keep quiet in situations of injustice are just as bad as the guy committing it.
Okay, nice.
Drop
that bar.
Sherry looks like he has something to say. This is Sheridan Smith, by the way. He just joined the podcast.
Yeah, I was wanting him to introduce himself long ago.
I've been hearing the voice. He wasn't here, but yeah.
What's up? So cool. We look at R. Kelly, for example, and he's an artist that's been around for a impressively long amount of time. Yet, as you say, it's only blown up to the surface recently about what his personal life has to do, right? Now, what about somebody who is making songs in, like, activism, in like against that? What do you say to that? Because that artist doesn't reflect what they're thinking. They're making a song about it. You know what I mean? They're trying to raise awareness
Wait,
for
can
an
you
issue.
Clarify or reiterate?
So what I'm saying is that, so for example, R. Kelly, right? Uh-huh. Let's say I made a track right now advocating that people need to stop raping, right? That reflects my viewpoint, right? But it's selling for music. So an artist who is not doing that, but does that personal life is there, how is that combated between the two? Do you get what I mean?
How do we?
The thing is, now you're using like a really bad example in R. Kelly, because like when you listen to R. Kelly's music, it's got very rapey lyrics.
It does have undertones that is a little bit rapey. But I'm saying, for somebody who is making activist music, right? How does that person relate? Do we know what that person's, what if that person is then also in their personal life raping somebody? Yet is making activist music.
Honestly, when I feel like it comes to like social media and like the cancel culture, right? It's all also up to interpretation. At the end of the day, like you could be meaning one thing, and like you said, like you can't, like what an artist does and what an artist does for their music could be two completely different things, and like anything could be taken out of context, especially in 2019. 100%. So it's like if I listen to a song and I'm in a really bad mood for one of these days and I want to be petty as hell and I hear something, I'm like, oh, that's really, really like dope, I'm gonna use that, or that's really, really like creepy, like why did I listen to that? Like it's always up to interpretation, because again, as much as music is for the public, but it's subjective again, so it's like, you know what I mean? But obviously, like if we use R. Kelly for example, his public life and his music career were at the same level completely, so you could obviously like correlate his music to his life, like his like normal life, because like I'm gonna bring up a song now because I watched like the Surviving R. Kelly, and that like made me cry like dead ass. But Aaliyah was 15 and she was just about to put out her first album, and at that point, like
I think they were engaged,
and R. Kelly was producing all of her music, and R. Kelly wrote AJ Nothing But a Number, and then she sang it. So it's like, that's a clear, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is fishy as hell.
I think with that song, he was trying to, like, kind of justify what he was doing.
Oh, definitely.
To the masses, but...
And make her sing it, because then it seems more just, like, you know?
You know, she's all for it, basically.
Yeah.
I consent. AJ, nothing but a number.
I think we just live in a time where the music and the musician have been separated so far, and that it should be that the music and the musician should be one thing.
Yeah.
So the way you live your life and the way you make your music, it should be a reflection
of who you are. 100%.
Yeah. However, I think we do live in a time where those two have been split very far from each other. There's people now who live a completely different personal life to what they put out on their music.
Because, like, remember, musicians are artists. They're storytellers at the end of the day.
Mm. Exactly.
Not everything they have to put out has to be like a reflection of their life. That's why I feel is that we should separate the music from the artist. But then going back to this topic, I want to ask you guys, do you feel that we need to, or artists need to change the way they make music now?
100%.
100%.
No cap.
Why?
And in what context, as an artist, I'm offended?
No, I mean, like, okay, let's look at R&B, for example.
Yeah.
The genre is mostly about seduction. And when you look at how the songs were written back in the 80s or the 90s, or like just originally, it's more of a thing of like, I want you to want me, come through. But then as the years went by, the sort of like spectrum of how I'm going to seduce you sort of deteriorated. It relied more on like, I need to get you drunk, I need to get you high.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that's what you hear when you listen to modern R&B nowadays.
Because it went from, I'll make love to you like you want me to I don't see nothing wrong with the little pump.
If you look at that, let's look at like a 90s, 60s song. Mm-hmm. The Beatles wrote, Let Me Hold Your Hand. And it was the biggest song of that decade.
Wow.
Hold your hand. Nowadays, we have songs that literally were so vulgar that I don't know, my parents would even want to hear that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I do think so. To answer your question, yes. Artists should be more wary
of what they write.
Of what they're writing.
And also, like, young children listen to these things. So, like, they're very impressionable also. So now you're teaching these kids from a young age that this is how we do things.
Okay.
And they're gonna grow up and then they're gonna like start doing these rapey culture things and then it's a huge problem.
Can I bring up a thing though? So we're talking about like R&B, and like in this case I feel like we mostly directed to like the men of R&B, obviously, because that's like thing. But then when you talk about like women, I mean, their seduction skills and what they say also on music is a bit like, you know, not safe for work.
True.
So then how do we like separate that now? Is there like a subculture of R&B that's just like that, or are we just like directing it to the men of R&B?
I wouldn't say we're necessarily directing it at the men. I'm just of the opinion that it is more prevalent amongst males. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen in terms of the female side. I'm pretty sure that it does happen. However, it's more prevalent amongst males. And in general, to separate the music from the artist would be a good thing, but it would also be a bad thing at the same time. So all artists really need to do is just be wary and be willing to like tell the public, this is how I live my life,
like,
and this is my music.
You should be able you should just be able to be yourself through your music. Like, I should be able to listen to a song and be like, yo, this is really Nikita Dawson. Like, oh my gosh, like, she is here right now. You know what I mean? Like, in the moment. Yeah, instead of, like, me hearing you, and you know, like, how the term clout is just so famous. And you just did it for the clout. Like, you just hear bums are out. There's no clothes. You're just twerking. Like, your music has no meaning because now I don't know who you are. You're just another one.
Okay, so then if you look at content of a song, for example. So I write a song today, right? And I'm in love. But somebody has broken my heart. That will definitely influence the way I'm writing that song.
Yeah.
Song is now about heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be heartbroken forever.
True.
So it doesn't necessarily reflect my personal opinion for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
However, the song stands for the rest of our lives. So
then again, that's exactly about being like...
That was kind of heavy.
Bars.
So that's why I'm saying we really just need to draw a line at what we're doing, and we need to, as artists, tell people that listen. That's why we host interviews, and that's why we do these things, is because we're trying to explain the process behind a specific song. However, if your personal life is now being bombarded by the fact that your lyric content is relating to a rapey culture, as we would say, then that's what the problem is.
Ooh.
But then, like how Sherry said, how it's like it lasts for a very long time. Like music, like art in general, has that timeless quality. So it has to come in with the thing that artists have to be more wary about what they say, like be expressive, but also like understand that like people are gonna interpret it in a certain way. So make it
use your brain.
not even appropriate. Yo, like, this is actually, because I wouldn't want anyone to tell me to be appropriate with my things if this is how I'm writing. Oof, this is a sticky situation.
I feel exactly what you're saying there, because, for example, when I'm writing music, I'm not necessarily thinking about how it's going to affect anybody else.
Okay.
I'm writing the song because of the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right that we need to incorporate that into writing music. And if we do that, we get to a point where we start to avoid these cultures, or that it's not reflected in the music that we listen to.
But here's the thing too. A problem like that I have is that at the end of the day, this content sells. Because I look at some of the biggest hip-hop songs, I look at some of the biggest pop songs, Blurred Lines. We knew what we were hearing at that time, but we still allowed it to go to number one.
Yeah, in that regard, I'm fully with you. I think it is then society that has become
the problem. Is society the problem?
But I think it's just society. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the big record labels have the power. And they also, like, have a huge influence on what goes out there. You know, and they have this more commercial sound, which is like the more rapey culture, because everybody likes to get down with it. So, I think that's where the problem really starts. If they could recognize more soulful, more, not soulful, like as a genre, I just meant the more lighthearted. Oh, okay, you got your,
I feel like we're about to get a fight.
No, guys, no, I'm not always trying to fight, guys. I like peace, okay?
Okay. No, it's okay.
For record labels to be deciding what an artist can put out, technically that's censorship. So where do you draw the line between censorship and filtering through the rubbish?
But then again, have you ever heard the thing of sex sells in every industry?
Like, wow.
So any avenue of it, it doesn't matter what it is, it sells. It's just one of those things.
Coming to that question now, where you're saying that, you know, we buy this music and we consume this music. Right, so R. Kelly, just to put it out there, because the topic has been on there, for example. That music has been there for ages, right?
Yeah.
Yet people still consume it. Mm. Like, there are people who listen to that music, but then will go and watch those tapes. So I don't think, in the way you're saying it, is that it is society, and I agree with you. I don't think that the artist is necessarily dysfunctional. I think it's a dysfunctional society that consumes dysfunctional content.
Because we like things. We like things. Oh. Like, again, I'm going to say the R. Kelly thing, right? Like, a week after Surviving R. Kelly, like, came out, when he was on airs, people were watching it, people were depressed, all that other stuff. R. Kelly's, like, music on Spotify, on Apple.
The numbers
went up. only because now people are like, oh, I listen to R. Kelly. They watch it and they're like, wait, let me go back to it quickly. Let me just go listen to it. What? Oh my god, it actually was. Because subliminally we knew what was going on, just that we didn't like want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
We weren't.
True.
There is no such thing as bad publicity.
That's exactly what I wanted to say.
So like, we can just say all these things, but then the person will always
gain.
Something I would really like to know is, what has changed? Like, what has changed since the 50s in terms of the way we've consumed music? Why is it that people could go to festivals and enjoy life and listen to music, and it wasn't a thing about the content being dangerous or bad? Or was it just that because we have technology now, we weren't aware of all of these things?
I feel like social media put a spotlight on it.
So you guys agree that it's been there the entire time?
It's
just
always
been publicized now because we have technology.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like media is no longer protecting artists. Because that's one thing that I felt like the media did well. You never really like got attention to like your abusers, you know, like Bobby Brown.
What do you mean? Elaborate.
Like Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
As much as he was in the news, people still like wanted to interview him and still treated him as a big deal, like as an artist.
True.
But like someone who gets cancelled nowadays, they won't exactly be in the spotlight
anymore. No one wants to associate themselves with you.
Exactly.
Okay, do you think that's because we as a society, we are more active as well than we were before?
We are more active.
More aware.
Okay, that's a good thing, right? We're happy about that?
Of course.
It is a good thing. It's good that we're becoming aware. But at the same time, how are we still accepting more and more negative? Like, we're okay with accepting more negative.
I just wanted to bring something up. Why is it so hard for, like, the victim to come out and then get justice when they need it? Because, like, people would come out and be like, this is my story. And then it would take, like, months for it to play out. And then the perpetrator would, like, get, like, a slap on his wrist. Like, why is that happening?
Okay. I just feel like that's just a system.
Yeah, I think it's broken. Like, yeah, it's just really bad. Just like,
yeah, but then again, I wanted to bring something up, like your whole Babes Who Do My Thing. Because, like, I mean, that whole scandal happened, and she still went back to the months. So, like, my problem is, like, okay, she brings this up, and then she still goes back. Like, what are we supposed to do now?
I think with Babes Who Do My Thing, it's kind of like the situation where, for those of us that grew up in the hood, we know who's committing crime. We know who are the guys that are breaking into each other's houses. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I could get mugged at a stop sign in my hood in Guamashu, and the following day, I would see the nigga that robbed me at the corner store. And I won't be like, you are the guy who took my money.
Okay.
I think it's a psychological thing of, if I sort of become friends with my abuser or whoever's victimizing me, then I'm gonna be on their level. It's a psychological thing, like the same way that
that's the problem though, you know, like, we can't get to a point where we're okay with that, you know. That's what needs to change in society. We need to be able to be the people who are going to change that culture. If we just continuously accept all this music with the same content continuously, nothing will change. So more people call to change it, the better.
So if, for example, someone like Future, you'd say, like, we should just stop listening to him completely.
Future is trash. I just want to put it out there. Future is the ghetto.
See, the thing is, again, I could say to you right now, stop listening to Future. What is the first idea that goes into your head?
Listening to Future.
Yeah, like...
No, that's the thing. So how do you stop them? You know what I mean?
Like, that's where there's a disconnect.
It's dangerous because to inspire true creativity or genuineness is not easy. So you need to put this idea into someone's head without them even knowing that they want to think about it. You need to make them realize in their minds that it's wrong.
Because this is what I wanted to chat about, like, going back to the music specifically. Yeah. Like, if we were to move forward or find a way forward, how would artists approach their music now? Would they, like, being more wary of their content? Are they now gonna, like, promote consent and promote, like, wild behavior, even though, like, it's not their style? Like, should they be forced into that bubble?
I think so.
Let me ask you if you want it.
Yes.
What the music, right? We have a new genre, and it's quite problematic. Oh. And we cannot deny that. I'm a piano.
Oh.
Oh, but that's something a different chat, guys. Oh yes,
I mean, like, literally, it's just vulgarity on vulgarity. It's just, it just comes out.
Thank you. I was waiting for that one. You see there?
Exactly. The fact that we're all seeing it is a problem, though.
Yes. Right. But like, no lie, if it comes on right now, we are all going to start jiving. Hips are going to start moving. So it's like, how do you take out such a genre from?
No, baby, are you coming?
You need to remember. No, wait. You need to remember. Actually, songwriting and production usually aren't the same person. Or even, it's not the same job, even if it is the same person, right? So, yeah, we do kind of have
to. No, but remember,
no, but the thing is also, they did try. Now there's songs like Nana Tula, like, they're becoming a bit wholesome.
But tell me, does it sound better?
Like,
yeah, honest opinion. Slap. Yes, it does.
Does it slap?
But like,
for me, it does.
Better would you than rather love me tonight?
Or better than Dubai. But does it slap better than Dubai, though?
But then, either way, when it plays in the club, people...
Okay, yeah, I don't lie. Either way, both.
You see, so we are a problematic society. So I don't know how it'd go about cancelling people, cancelling genres. If we start and reflect, and then we decide what we want and find a way forward, I feel like that's when we can change a lot of things.
Also, like, I feel like, is it, like, I personally, like, I, it's not like I, like, you know what I mean, but you know, I'm trying to get the words, but it's gonna make sense just now. But like, I'm the type of person that if I like hear a song and I hear like the bass line and I'm like, okay, already, like, here, I will not listen to the words, but like at first glance, you know what I mean? Even if I'm in the club and I'm drunk as fuck, I'm not listening to the words of the song. I'm just jamming because like it sounds amazing. The sound is great. And that, like, I have friends in the music industry who make terrible music, but like terrible in the sense that like the lyrical quality, the lyrical content.
So building onto Nikita's point of the content in your music, I want to talk about music videos, because there's a lot of music videos that will like promote drug use, or they'll promote like lots of alcohol.
Like, most probably, like, trap, hip-hop music videos, like, Pop That, Benz and Make a Dance. These are, like, all songs when I heard when I was a child. And I feel like some of those lyric and those videos stuck with me. Like now all I want to do is just impress girls. Not that I do, but like
it contributes to like gents objectifying women. That's
basically
what it does.
Yes.
Like yeah. You see like girls in the music videos and like, oh cool, now I wanna smash.
Or
them.
You wanna just, yeah. just tap that.
You wanna
mean?
Be like
yeah.
juicy in the club.
Definitely. And I think it's also very weird is that sometimes the content doesn't necessarily align with what music videos display.
Okay.
And you know, the music video does set a precedent for whoever's listening to it, because you know, you associate whatever's happening in the music video with the song. So if artists can learn to manipulate their videos in such a way that contributes to better sales by putting in more explicit content, should there be a way that we can regulate what is being put out through music videos?
Not really regulate, but I feel like the responsibility still lies with the artist. Because, for example, I look at a song like Man Down by Rihanna, dude. Because the whole story around that song was like, this girl, she got raped, and now she went looking for vengeance. Like, a song like that, it educates you. It shows you, like, all the horrors. And the music video did a great job of visualizing that,
definitely.
Too. So that's why I feel like if one artist can do that, what's stopping, like, another artist from doing that?
Well, like Nikita said, sex sells, and like we cannot deny that, like we really cannot. So sales over morality and all of that, so yeah,
that's where we are right now.
But I think it's also creative differences though, like not everybody has the same vision, even though, because like the same person that made the song is not the same person that directs the music video, so you find they're not like on par like with their vision. It's like different.
Okay.
You know, that's why sometimes it does not sync.
But all it takes is one person to change the culture, you know what I mean? You look at rappers like Drake. The reason that we have sad nigga raps today is because of Drake, because he was like, I'm feeling sad and I'm sad about this girl that dumped me. And nigga was like, oh gosh, it's cool to talk about your feelings. So we need people that are going to be like, oh, it's cool to talk about consent. Oh, it's cool to ask a girl, do you want to do this? It's cool not to have someone drug you before they take you home. Like,
okay,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that is true.
Like now when you have big rappers like Rick Ross, for example, say, I slipped a Molly in it and she didn't even know it. Like,
yeah.
It's very problematic.
I fully agree with you.
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest problem.
Rick Ross
cannot have content like that.
He's just a problematic gent.
You can just not have content like
that.
Nah.
Another thing I look at is, I don't know if you know the music video for The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
No.
So the song revolves around his best friend cheating, or his girlfriend cheating on him with his best friend, and he took drugs and was unable to do anything except watch. So a song like that is now more about the heartbreak. Mm. But it explicitly is known that he's in that state because he's on drugs.
Sure.
So what is the song promoting in that case?
I feel like it goes back to also an artist like The Weeknd.
Because
he promotes, like, as much as it's good R&B music, but it does promote a lot of drug use.
Yes,
that's very true.
Just bring the pain. Oh, yes!
And as people, I feel like we're enablers, guys. You know,
we are
enablers. Because let's take
that
another example. Cardi B. She drugged a man. She even admitted to it. She drugged him.
She literally did.
But then, like, the TL was always just blowing up, saying, nah, you go get your bag. It's like,
the thing is, double standards, bro.
That's the thing.
I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing.
I'm not worried that it's double standards. I'm just worried that we're okay with that.
Because
she came out and said, admitted that this was the fact.
She committed a crime.
No, for me, that's not even the worst part. They went and made a whole movie about it. Go watch Hustlers, support the culture, go watch the movie. But, like, still, don't. Don't do that.
No, not at all. Please.
We're all laughing, but we really shouldn't be.
Okay.
But, like, I want to ask you guys, if Leah brought this up, do you think we could ever forgive these artists?
Leah, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, let me just tell the story. I was watching Wendy Williams was dragging Nicki Minaj because she's married to a rapist and he killed someone too. Yeah, he was arrested for manslaughter. And Wendy was just like judging her. So Nicki went on her radio, Queen Radio, and she was like, when are we going to forgive them? Like, are we going to be angry at them forever? Because God forgives people, so why can't you?
It's such a difficult topic that, like, who's to set the limits for forgiveness, you know?
Exactly.
Like, to what extent do we forgive?
It's like someone, okay, I'm gonna take Future and Chris Brown. Future has never beat a woman, not that we know of. No, that we know of. But like he hasn't yet. But could we ever forgive him for like all the misogynistic things that he says in his music? And then Chris Brown, for example, went and beat up Rihanna and also Karrueche Tran. He's a known abuser, but yet we still, okay, people are still consuming his music and he's still relevant. It seems as if he's been forgiven.
Yeah.
By most of the population.
I think the problem we have is that we've got this whole attitude of proven or not guilty until proven. Okay. You know, and it's a bad thing in music. Like, somebody can be speaking about doing crimes in their music, but it's not a crime until it actually happens.
Okay.
You know what I
Bobby
mean?
Bobby Shmurda.
Free Bobby Shmurda.
He's coming on next year.
There's Free Bobby Shmurda. Free my boy.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Just think. We are victims of our own demise because we get excited for this. You know, like, we are people that we explicitly know he's done a crime, but we are like, cool, ripping the name. Yo.
Yeah.
2020 is coming.
Okay, let's say, okay, fine. He went to jail. Will we ever forgive him for what he's done? Because like now he's rehabilitated.
He served his time. It's like Gucci Mane. He came out, he served his time.
And let's be honest, he's probably going to make more money off the first release he has.
Yeah. That's if the track doesn't disappoint.
So then I want to ask you guys this. Is the problem punishment then? Because a lot, it seems like a lot of like big celebrities get away with these things.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess the problem would be like punishment and accountability.
Yes.
Probably. 100%. I wonder... Like, I wonder how much all of this punishment or forgiveness has to do with the actual music, though. Like, is it affecting the way we consume the music?
It is, so, but like...
It should.
Badly. That's when I say problem. Badly is that the minute we hear about this, these things, we go back and listen to the
and
music.
And listen to the music.
Like, you know, these guys make more money off of bad publicity.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing that really changes is the feeling about the artist, but not really the fact that you listen to their music.
But then how do we change this narrative?
That's what I want to know too. Like, how do we get to the point where we're able to then change that cycle where we are just consuming regardless of what is happening? Like, how do we change that?
Can we? The question is, can we?
I don't think we can.
Yeah,
I don't think it's possible in this lifetime.
Yeah, especially with music, the output right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's so many mediums, like, you can't even say a record label should, like, stop a person because there's so many independent artists.
Exactly. And nowadays, an independent artist could probably make
anything
they want to do, and it can get released and be more famous than anything produced by a label.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where we go from there. I don't know how we draw the line, and I don't know how that affects what we listen to.
Hey, man. In the end, it starts with you, you know. No one can make decisions for you. As much as we're consumers and we consume things as a group and in a large quantity, you as an individual can always make a difference. It's your change is not too small of a change. I think it's also understanding that even in my small world of influence, I can influence the next person to make the right decision. So if you decide that the most effective way to change the narrative is to go out on the Twitter streets and be like, yo, y'all, listen to what so-and-so, T.I. said about his daughter's hymen.
Yeah.
I fully don't support that. That's cool too. Like, you know what I mean? We don't have as much power in terms of economics as the biggest record label or the biggest companies or whatever. But when you make a decision for yourself to say that I am distancing myself from this, for me, that's more than enough.
Right? That's a start.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I think the biggest thing also is that I ask, how do we do all of this? But we forget that we actually do have the potential to change that.
100%.
Yeah, because 100%. We are the consumer in this case. So
in the Twitter streets speak.
Exactly. We're the only people who can change this. Yet we don't.
Ooh.
So...
Every time Sharon opens his mouth,
always
dead, 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 dead.
Jabs or jabs, bro.
That's what I don't understand.
I guess that's how we're going to wrap up the conversation for today. We're going to carry on with this next time. But, you know, let me know your thoughts, comment, hit me in the DMs, and, you know, shout out to the Luminance Podcast, everybody that was here. Plug yourselves.
Double_MX, Twitter, Instagram, Alumlit. Yeah, also I have a YouTube channel coming through.
Subscribe.
Yes.
Tando on Twitter. At azania.x on Instagram. It's been great, man. I love this shit.
Yeah, what's up? This is Sherry. I don't really have to.
What do you do?
This is really embarrassing.
Wow.
I'm on Instagram as SheridanSmith11.
Nice.
Okay. Yo, and this is Miss Low signing off. Plug to just _Lilo with my main page. And for my music page, it is Miss Low, but you can find that on the main page, actually. So, yeah.
Support local music. You know, that's what Aries Online is about.
And Leah Kaloub's double S on Instagram and Twitter. That's about it. It's been good, guys.
Oh, Pimp Mommy.
Pimp Mommy. Ah.
And you know me, it's Marcus Aries signing out. It's been Aries Online. Go jam the other content. Jam Channel 40. Jam Streets Are Done podcast. Jam Luminance. Good night.
Good night.